Why don't we pray for the message? Lord, I ask that you would speak to each of us today, that you would give us some revelation concerning our lives and what we do and how we are and live our lives in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. A few weeks ago, we had elections for new officers. So this is going to be kind of an interactive message, at least at the front end of this thing. So what I would like for to do is all the active elders and deacons, please stand. Even if you were elected, you're active now. You got ordained or installed. So these are the officers of the church. Take note of who they are. Now, keep standing. I would like for all the members of this church to please stand. Okay? Kind of look around. You may not know that person was a member. Now, those of you who are sitting, I'm assuming that you are not members of this church. Would you please stand? Now, what I want to do is I want to do this in reverse order. I'd like for the officers to sit down. Then I would like for the members to sit down. And those of you, look around, those of you who are visiting, so that you know who is visiting with you. Just so you can see this. Now, there's a reason why I'm doing this. I'm not doing this to embarrass you or anything like that, but it goes with the message. So you can be seated now. You know, at this time of the year, it's the end of Christmas, and, you know, we talk about Santa, and if you have small children, they say if you're good little boys and girls, you get toys and stuff like that, but if you're bad, you get what? Lump of coal. And that means that implies, of course, that Santa and his helpers are watching all the time. Now, how long ago was it that the elf on the shelf showed up? About 5 years ago or so? Well, I know that little dude sits in my daughter's house down in Memphis. I know that. The elf on the shelf, he's watching the children, right? Well, the title of the message today is Someone is Always Watching, and we're going to move a little bit past Santa and his helpers and all that. I want to talk to the officers of this church that you guys have stood first, and then I want to kind of move around in terms of how this message goes. I was wondering what I could say to inspire the leaders of this church. Well, they need to be as leaders that Jesus wants them to be for his people. So there are basically two parts of this. First is rather simple, and yet I believe this is very profound. And that is this. The only difference between heaven and hell is what? In the management. This is one of my Velcro sayings. The only difference between heaven and hell is in the management. Haven't I mentioned to you recently the two most asked questions in both heaven and hell? You know what they are? What are you doing here? And where's so-and-so? Those are the two most asked questions in heaven and in hell. The only difference between heaven and hell is the management. And you know, let me expand on that a little bit. You know, that's one of my sayings. But you're going to find the same kind of people in heaven as you find in hell. People like you and me. The difference, of course, is all in the administration. It's all in the management. Did you know that in heaven, the administration is Swiss? The police are British. The lovers are Italians. The mechanics are German. And the food is French. But in hell, the administration is Italian. The police are German. The lovers are Swiss. The mechanics are French. And the food is British. The first thing I would say to those of you who are officers who have the task of making the life of this church a little piece of heaven and a little piece of hell, or a little piece of hell, is if you choose to be lacking in wisdom, if you happen to be overbearing in your actions, then what you can do is you can create a little piece of hell in terms of a church. And I've seen enough churches to know that this can happen. I can say this to the officers of this church, but I can also say that this to you who are business people. If you're in a position of authority in your wherever you work or business, like a plant manager, I can say this to fathers and mothers. I can say this to teachers and to the police and to judges. I can say this to city officials, to school board members. I can say this to ministers. The only difference between heaven and hell is in the management. And if you are in a position of authority in whatever way that is, the question is, are you creating hell on earth for somebody? Or do you make things around you smell of heaven? It's all in the management. So those of us who are in leadership roles in the church, if you want to create heaven, then you got to be a servant. You need to be wise. You need to be supportive, encouraging, enthusiastic, and keep this church focused on Jesus, because it is his church. You know, as an officer, if you become self-willed, or if you don't follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, if you don't serve the Lord, then I guarantee you that you'll end up creating a little piece of hell on earth. And I don't know about you, but I've looked around and I've seen the news enough to know we have enough of that already. This is also true of everyone here who is any kind of a leadership role. It might be in an office, it might be in school, it might be here in church, it could be in your family. You create the kind of environment that other people either thrive under or they die under. Second thing I have to say to the new officers, but really to all of us, is this. Someone is always watching. Someone is always watching. From Santa to the elf on the shelf to you and me, someone is always watching. And that's true of all of us, but today I want to set this great truth into a Christian context. The way I figure it, the only reason you should be in church is that you are here to be fed spiritually so that you can be Jesus' man or woman in your world. Or you are here seeking to find Jesus, God, in your life. Jesus calls us the light of the world. If we name him as Savior and are striving to make him known in our world, we are the light in the world. The light is to be seen. The light was given is to give direction to people. The light is to give light in a dark world. And if we are the light of the world, it seems obvious to me anyway, that someone is always watching. And Jesus understood this great truth. Read with me Luke chapter 14, verses 1 and 7. Here we go. One Sabbath, when he went to dine at the house of a ruler who belonged to the Pharisees, they were watching him. Now he told a parable to those who were invited. When he marked how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, and he goes on and he talks to them. Jesus understood the truth. Someone is always watching. He knew that his disciples watched what he did. They listened to what he said to see if he was consistent. Jesus knew that the Pharisees, scribes, Sadducees were watching, trying to trap him into some kind of inconsistency. And in this particular scripture, it says they were watching him. Jesus knew that the crowds were watching him, seeking the Messiah. But you notice also in this scripture that Jesus was watching them. Even John the Baptist, through his disciples, was watching Jesus. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 to 6, John asked through his disciples from prison a very pertinent question. So let's read 11 verses 2 to 6. Here we go. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you he who is to come, or shall we look for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is he who takes no offense of me." Jesus knew the truth. Someone is always watching. Say it with me, will you? Someone is always watching. There's always somebody watching you. Jesus knew this great truth. So he told them to be very intentional and to watch him. In the ancient world, it is said that the difference between a Greek and a Jew was that the Greeks were always talking philosophy and religion. And if a Greek wanted to know what you believed, he would ask you and you would tell him. But if a Jew asked you what you believed, you would tell him and he would listen. And then he would follow you around for a week and find out what you really believed. I know this truth. Someone is always watching. So you people watch me like a hawk. You know, I've been in ministry for 40 years. I know these things. You people watch me like a hawk. You watch what I say, what I do. I'm in the public eye. I'm in your eye. I know in ways I live in a glass house, you might say. Somebody is always watching. That's the truth about me. But it is also the truth about you. Somebody is always watching. Today here in this worship service, I had you stand up in different kinds of groups. We have visitors. Now, I know this about those of you who are visiting. They're watching us who are members. Those of us who constitute this church, you might say, somebody is always watching. You who are visiting, what do you see? You know, that's the question. One of the questions, I've been in this church for 17 years, so I've been here for a while, so you kind of get dulled to the environment in which you live in, you might say. One of the questions I ask people, if I go and I talk to them and they're visiting the church, I say, tell me your impressions of the church. And the reason I ask that question is because I swim in this environment all the time, and essentially the question is, how do you see us? I ask that question because I've been here a long time. And I really don't trust my opinion completely as how we are perceived by outsiders. In other words, one of the things that we do is we grade our own papers. And when you grade your own papers, you always get A's. But that may not be the reality of the situation. Someone is always watching. Say it with me. Someone is always watching. How about those of you who have children at home, parents? You know your kids watch you like a hawk. Not only do they watch you, they end up modeling their lives on what they see. I suspect that all of us have internal models of what a man or a woman or a husband or wife or a father or a mother should be, and most of it is based upon what we saw growing up. In our parents' case, we were the ones who were children watching them, weren't we? Think about that relationship that you had with your parents and how that seed, you saw that. We were watching them. And then we begin to do what they did, say what they said, and be what they are. How about you guys, you kids? Some of you have younger brothers or sisters. Do you know that you might be the hero or the heroine of that younger brother or sister? They watch you like a hawk. Those of us who are adults, you have younger brothers or younger sisters. Didn't you notice that they kind of watched you? Or maybe you watched an older brother or an older sister. Somebody is always watching. You kids in school and society, let me tell you something. Adults are watching you. Not just your parents. Adults are watching you. And you develop a reputation. It's going to be a good reputation or a bad reputation because of what you are, what you do, but it comes about because someone is always watching. So say it with me again. Someone is always watching. Now, this is true of all of us and really everyone, but we who name Jesus as Savior and we're in that process of making Him Lord of our lives, we stand under a different kind of judgment. We are the representatives of Jesus in the world. This church is the representative of Jesus in the world. And since we know that somebody is always watching, how are we perceived? The mission of this church, your mission, if you're a member, if you name Jesus as Savior and Lord, is to know Jesus as Savior and Lord and then make Him known. It's right up at the top of your bulletin, to know Jesus as Savior and Lord and make Him known. It's out there on the atrium wall so that you always see it. Today's message is about leading other people to know Jesus as Savior by our example and the sharing of our personal relationship to Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote this. He said, "Now we are ambassadors for Christ Jesus, God making His appeal through us." Now you need to listen to that. Paul was saying, he said, we're ambassadors for Christ Jesus, and God makes His appeal through us. Because Paul knew that that God knew this great truth. Someone is always watching. Someone is always watching. Therefore, we are all leaders. If Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. A disciple of Jesus is a leader by definition, and if you are one, you lead by your presence, you lead by your actions, by your words, and the way you say your words, which influence the lives and the thinking of other people. Because someone is always watching. Someone is always watching. Every situation has people who influence what happens. This worship service is like that. What I say and do influence what happens in this worship service. But so do the singers and Michelle and the players up here. They influence how that environment is developed in terms of worship. But so do you. You know, if you don't show up, you make a statement. If you won't sing, you make a statement. Now, those are both negative statements, and just remember, someone is always watching. If you sing and really participate, you make a statement. You see, we lead by example. We lead first by example. Everything we say or do sends a message. It sets the tone. It teaches people what to do or what not to do. The more you are a leader in your family, your business, your job situation, your plant, your community, this church or any church or other organizations, the more you live under a microscope when you are a leader in those situations. Nothing we say or do escapes the scrutiny and the examination of those that we lead. It's one of the most important principles of leadership. Those who lead will mirror the example that you set for them. Teachers, coaches, ministers, business leaders, community people, parents, fathers, mothers, you are the standard by which others follow. Christian, you are the standard by which others will follow Jesus. And the reason? Someone is always watching. That's why. So I want to make this perfectly clear to all of us, but I will say that the more responsibility that you hold in terms of your life, the more important this truth can be. Jesus was a teacher, not a salesman. There is a big difference. In fact, there's a vital difference between a salesman and a teacher. Some churches sell Jesus, but they don't teach. Some Christians sell Jesus, but they don't teach him. Let me explain to you the difference. To a salesman, his product is separated from his person. To the teacher, the product is in the person. He effectively teaches only what he is. It is caught, literally. It is felt. Parents, it is caught. It is felt. It is sensed. It communicates. It is essence. It is authority that comes from the inside. Now, Jesus is the example of the teaching. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And in the very person of Jesus was the essence of every teaching he ever uttered. There was no separation. To take the teaching to heart, you need to take the teacher to heart. That's why we know that to receive Jesus, we must receive him and his teachings into our heart where it becomes life, where we begin to live this stuff out in our lives. Like Paul said, it is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Then we become Christ-like in nature. The teaching becomes part of us. When Jesus says, forgive those who have sinned against you, it becomes a teaching that goes into our hearts. And no matter how difficult that task may be, the teaching is what we do. When Jesus said, give, when he said, don't judge, when he said, love, when he said, go or do, the response is to the teacher and the teaching. It's not a salesman. Jesus knew that he had to be the embodiment of the teaching because he knew somebody is always watching. When Jesus finished the Sermon on the Mount, it says that the crowds were amazed at him, astonished. Read with me Matthew 7, 28 and 29. This is at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. Now, the scribes were just people who were teaching these things, but he taught with authority because he embodied the teaching. The scribes were selling religion. Jesus was teaching kingdom living. Now, some Christians and some churches are gospel salesmen. That is, they're really interested in getting church members, which is recognition of the sale being made. You know, we have a group of people out there in the pictures of them out there who have joined the last couple of years. But if all they do is join the church, they just become a religious statistic. By the way, visitors, if you join the church, that becomes a religious statistics. That's not the key to membership. Some Christians and some churches are teachers of the gospel. And I hope we're one of this category in terms of the product is not new members. The product is changed lives. The product is people committed to living and growing together where Jesus is Lord. Whether or not we are at that kind of church or whether you are that kind of a person is easy to find out. You know how you find out? Just watch. Just watch. And remember, someone is always watching. Even Jesus said it, just watch, you will know them by their fruits. Read with me Matthew 7, verses 16 to 20. Here we go. You will know them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorns or figs from thistles? So every sound tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears evil fruit. A sound tree cannot bear evil fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will know them by their fruits. Now, as I said, someone is always watching, and sometimes that someone is me. You know, I take tours in other people's lives. One of the strongest convictions coming out of my own observations and experience is this: you teach no more or less than what you are. You teach no more or no less than what you are. That is, what you are as a person becomes the most powerful essence of your message. Period. It's that simple. For instance, if you make promises and don't keep them, or you won't make promises or commitments, in all likelihood, people around you won't trust you. If you make a promise and they won't commit themselves to you because of that. Don't you just love the plumber or the repairman who says he'll be there between 9 and 12 and doesn't show? We've got a good example of this, and this is going on a CD. Let me tell you something. The King Lar people who are putting that roof on over there, they said they'd have it done before the men's great banquet this fall. They're not good for their word. They're still working. We're not going to get that roof completed till 2015. They're not good for their word. Take it to heart if you have to deal with them. It's that simple. And I hope it gets back to King Lar. Some of you can send one of these CDs to them. I mean, really, if you're going to make a promise, keep it. Otherwise, don't make the promise. Because what does it tell you if they're not good for it? Teach you about his promises and commitments. That's why Jesus taught, don't make promises unless you intend to keep them. We teach what we are. If you teach someone about dieting and you are overweight, what is really being communicated? If you teach people about a disciplined life, whether we're talking about Christian disciplines or other types of discipline, and what you show is a lack of personal discipline, what you really teach is the lack of personal discipline. The teaching is caught, not taught. Some say, same way with what I teach from up here. You know, I know this. I've been pastor here for a lot of years. If you don't see it manifested in my life in some form or fashion, then it's really not going to wash with you anyway. I can talk about love, but if I do not feel or express it towards you, I will teach you a lack of love in reality. If I am double-minded, I will teach double-mindedness. If you have kids, you teach them. You teach them by who you are, by what you are, what you say, what you do, period. If you are concerned about worldly things, even if you think they should come to church and have spiritual things, you will communicate your worldly concerns. You see, someone is always watching. Jesus says, "For by this all men shall know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." He said this because the world is always watching. We're coming to the end of this year, and we can only live out there. So in 2015, let's begin with the knowledge that someone is always watching. Someone is always watching you. Someone is always watching me. What do you want to communicate to that someone about you? And more importantly, about Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, in the essence of life, teach us how to live so that we can live and teach others your truth. And we come to you today in Jesus' name. Amen.